In 86, Anne M. Martin wrote the first book of what became a cult. Now it's time for Babysitter's Club.
Ba-da-da-da-da-da.
Set adrift. Superstar.
No.
That is what you no. are.
Set adrift on man.
We can rely on each other. Uh-huh.
What is it about?
From one corner to another.
No.
Uh-huh.
What is it about this room that makes us want to sing?
You've been singing since I got here. You were singing out in the living room, too. Your wife and I were having a conversation, and you were just singing to yourself.
I was singing P.M. Dawn, man.
No one
I got
cares
it stuck
about
in
P.M.
My brain.
Dawn.
I think you're wrong about that.
Yeah, I can name three people who care about P.M. Dawn. And the two guys who are in P.M. Dawn.
This day in 1991, Set Adrift on Memory Bliss of You by P.M. Dawn, top in the charts. Everybody was singing it. And those were happier times, my friend.
What's today, the 8th? 6th. December 6th,
well,
1991.
Off to some Googling pretty early, and it's not even Babysitters.
What happened on this day, December 6th, 1991?
What was top of the charts?
Okay, let me look.
I don't know, man. I think we should talk about the book.
That's number
what
one
I think...
movie?
No, I want the number one song.
Okay.
91.
I'm looking, Jack.
How hard is it to
number
Google?
One...
You Googled 1991.
Number one song in the country.
Mm-hmm.
December 6th, 1991.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jackson's Black or White.
It's a good song.
Very good song.
Yeah. Good.
Color Me Bad's All For You.
We're not going to attempt to sing it here.
Ooh, oh. Boys to Men. It's so hard.
Okay, no, listen.
To say goodbye.
Here's what we're going to do.
To yesterday.
We read.
It's an a cappella song.
Listen.
But we both sing it.
No, I know.
We harmonize.
Yeah.
It's so hard. To say goodbye. You know, harmonizing doesn't mean singing the same
note, don't know.
Right?
I barely know the melody. Listen, here's what we will actually do is talk about the book that we read today.
Oh, my God. Number three, top song in the U.S.
Yeah.
December 6, 1991.
Yeah.
P.M. Dawn's Set Adrift on Memory Bliss.
Oh, I'm so right.
I was so right.
I didn't
How
believe
impressed
you.
Are you right now? How
very
impressed are
impressed.
You with me?
Honestly, that very impressed.
Was fucking amazing.
I did not believe you.
Ah, I am a god. That was fucking incredible. And it's such a good song, Baby Nation. It is such a great song.
Number one TV series was Children of the North.
Okay.
Never heard of it.
You know what Babysitter's Club book probably came out around then? Just to try to...
Ooh, the number one movie was The Last Boy Scout.
Oh, that's a good movie.
Yeah.
God, what a time to be alive, man. Yeah. P.M. Dawn is like tearing up the charts, and then you're watching The Last Fucking Boy Scout with Bruce Willis?
Yeah, I wasn't watching it. I was watching Hook.
Damon fucking Wayans?
Yep.
What a ride.
What a ride.
What a time to be alive. Bliss, in that dawn, it was to be alive, but to be young was very heaven.
Yeah. Is that Elliot?
It's Wordsworth.
It's P.M. Dawn.
Yeah, that sounds like P.M. Dawn. All right, I got you off your phone. You know what we should do? Let's talk about the book. We both read a book today.
Wait, I'm adjusting my mic.
Okay.
Now say it.
Okay, we both read a book today.
Nope, false.
I read a book this weekend.
I read a book yesterday.
Okay. I think it was the same book.
I hope so.
Oh, this happened last time. Hi.
Hi.
And welcome. Wait. Okay. You just interrupted me. You didn't know what
you
were
going
to say.
No. I just need to look something up real quick. I don't want to say hi or heyo. I have a new signature catchphrase.
You are looking up your own catchphrase.
I don't remember the rules
right
to the game.
On the internet. It is deeply saddening and deeply
I don't
troubling.
Remember the rules to the game. Hop by, joppa, cop.
Oh, God. Yeah, op talk?
Yeah. So you say hi.
Hi.
Hop by, joppa, cop.
How is that hi?
Hop by, joppa cop cop.
You're saying hi, Jack. Hi, Jack. Hop by, top by, not by.
Nope, you already fucked it up.
Yeah.
Hop by, toppa, nop. A rop.
I can't do it. I can't do the op talk. The Pike kids pick up on it real fast.
Yeah, the Popeye copy.
There's
Popeye
of,
copy.
Yeah.
Copeye dop.
All right, stop it.
Stop. You're bad at it, and I'm good at it.
I don't like it.
I like that.
Yeah, I don't like it. Hi, and welcome to the Babysitter's Club. Listen, just let me do it. Hi, and welcome. You can do your response.
Yeah.
Hi, and welcome to the Babysitter's Club.
Hop by, job by, cop.
Good. Great. That's going to be tons of fun for you to remember and say every fucking time. A podcast in which I, Jack Shepherd,
a nop dop,
oh, no, stop it.
I, top a nop nop e rop,
no, stop it.
Gop rop e, nop rop I, nop gop.
Do you recognize that this is going to be insufferable for listeners?
Yeah.
They want to know who you are. Who
top a nop nop a rop.
And you.
Gop rop e.
All right. A podcast.
Nop rop I nop gop.
A podcast in which I, Jack Shepherd, and you, Tanner Greenery,
yeah,
talk about the classic novel of
Princeton's own.
Ah,
nop nop.
No, stop it.
Mop mop. A rop top I nop.
Stop it. Baby Nation, Tanner learned a new version of
I
Pig
learned
Latin,
it, and so did the Pike triplets.
From this book that was insufferable in the book, and it's insufferable to hear out loud here in real time.
Jesse teaches it to the Pike triplets. What you do is you spell out words, and when it's a consonant, you just say the consonant in front of the word op, and when it's a vowel, you just pronounce the vowel. So Jack is Joppa
yep.
Cop Cop.
Good.
Tanner is Top a nop nop e rop.
A podcast in which the two of us discuss the classic novels of Anne M. Martin.
Ah, nop nop M. Mop a rop top.
Stop it. It's unfair because I keep wanting to say stop it and it sounds like I'm just playing along with you.
Sop top o pop. I top.
Saint of Princeton.
Yep.
Stormborn.
I'll accept Saint of Princeton, but I won't accept any of the others.
Princess Anne Matthews Martin.
No princess. Saint Anne M. Martin.
Saint Anne M. Martin of Princeton.
Princeton's own.
First of her name.
Mm.
Shirley.
No, it's Anne.
God, we're doomed now. Listen, we talk about her books. They're books about babysitters. It's the Sitter's Cycle. We are, for the love of God, if you've been listening along and you don't know that yet, God help you, because this week we are talking about book number 40. That's 40 fucking books that we've read.
40.
40 books. This book was called Claudia and the Middle School Mystery. It was a good book. I guess we're going to talk about it. Let's just dig right into it.
Oh my God. It was such a gop o o dop.
Stop it.
Bop o o cop.
Why are you good at that? I don't like, I could barely understand how the fucking language works.
I'm getting an update.
Okay, late breaking update.
Wandering frog person. I just got two alerts on my phone just now on Twitter. Our dear friend and baby boy, Colin, back on the big L column.
Back on the losers board?
Yep. He is on a week-long business trip, and apparently he found a little frog person just sitting right in there in his little suitcase.
That's how you do it.
Yep. And it seems like it was put there by baby girl Jennifer.
Previous loser. So now it's back to...
Ooh, and Colin's in Brooklyn tonight. Should we just invite him over?
Yeah, send him a tweet. Tell him to come by.
I'm going to tell them we're recording right now.
Good. Good, that's fun. Baby Nation, if you're fairly new to this, you haven't listened to all the episodes, a common thread is I fucking love when Tanner tweets at people during the record. When he gets on his phone and...
So let's check the leaderboard real quick. Let's see, 7.5 billion winners, two losers, Jack Shepherd, Baby B. Colin.
Yep, that's how it works. I have been getting a lot of notes, including one in our email, at jackandtanner@babysittersclubclub.com,
yep,
of people who have been purchasing Wandering Frog People or acquiring Wandering Frog People figurines,
right,
and giving them to people that they love
yep.
and care about,
yep,
thereby expanding the active play of the game exponentially.
Yep, and if you can include, when you let us know about someone who is now an active loser
yeah.
in Wandering Frog Person, if you include a photo, we can update the leaderboard yeah. with the photographic evidence.
Yeah, and I threw up quickly this weekend threw up a little
leaderboard. Sorry, man. Were you not feeling well?
On our website. That's a bad joke. What was the last one that you did? I said surely, and you interpreted it as surely.
It's yeah. Very good humor.
We're really
okay, Colin's tuning at us now and saying he's watching us record.
But yeah, there's a leaderboard on a website. You can learn the rules as we decipher more rules, more game mechanics. You can play Wandering Frog People yourself. I mean, you are playing it.
You are playing.
You can play it more actively.
An active participant.
Let's talk about this fucking book, Tanner.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to get off your damn phone. Oh, you're looking at your notes. Tanner's showing me his notes.
Get off your high horse, Gandhi.
Okay. All right. I'll accept that, even though it's a fairly mixed metaphor. We must talk about this book, this novel by Ann Matthews Martin. The way that we tend to do that is that I like to give a top level view of what happened in the novel, and then I hand things over, pass the ball, as it were, to my colleague and teammate here, Tanner Greenring, who also describes the novel.
Jennifer Raff just tweeted at me and said, get off your phone, Tanner, and pay attention to Jack.
To fucking literally do. Thank you, Jennifer. But Tanner, get off your goddamn fucking phone. Stop it. It's making it worse.
I'm looking at my notes.
Don't encourage it. Well, how do you know she tweeted at you then?
Popped it up.
All right. I'm going to describe this book. Are you ready for that? And are you ready to give me your undivided attention?
Yeah.
Are you ready to say something interesting, relevant, and ideally complimentary about my description of this book after the fact?
Absolutely not.
The thing about it is like a reading
comprehension. Have I ever done that?
No, not once.
It's 40 episodes.
I dare to dream. Listen, I'm going to describe what happened in this book, and then Tanner's going to describe what happens in this book. Are you ready, sir?
Yes.
I'm going to begin now. Accused of a crime she didn't commit, Claudia Kishi is days away from paying the ultimate price for someone else's actions. In a last-ditch effort to save herself, Claudia gathers an unlikely team of allies to hunt down the people who have wronged her before it's too late. As Claudia's determined band of mercenaries penetrate further into the web of lies that is enveloping her, Claudia is faced with a peril she never expected, when she is forced to choose between the justice that she seeks and the vengeance that she craves. Claudia and the Middle School Mystery. You didn't listen, did you?
No.
You didn't listen because you were making goofy faces at
first,
me.
First, I was wondering looking what out that the little window. Stamper machine was.
It's a... Don't... Let's not talk about...
And then
let's talk
I was
about,
looking
let's
out
not
the
talk
window.
About visual things.
Because we're
this.
In your office and your office window faces a direction, and I won't clarify what direction.
But this is your house.
The direction is towards my house.
I can see your house from my
and I was looking window. Out over the rooftops trying to determine if
sometimes I look out this window, but yeah. I don't look at your house, I look at the moon.
Yeah.
And I say to myself, I wonder if Tanner's looking out his window at the same moon huh. right now.
I'm looking at your house.
Good. What did you think? What was your favorite part of my description?
Oh, I loved it. I loved the part where you talked about Claudia.
Do you want to describe this
mystery
book, sir?
Yep.
Here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna put 60 seconds on a timer.
Okay, give me some parameters. Is it, what size is the timer?
It's big.
Okay, is it, what's its morality?
It's pretty bad. I'm gonna put 60 seconds on the big bad clock. During those 60 seconds, you are going to describe what happened in this novel. God damn it. People are tweeting at me.
Maybe Jack, get off Twitter. Get off your phone.
You don't even know how to do it. I'm going to hit start right now.
Okay. In this book, here's what happened. Claudia is studying for a test. She's trying really hard. She studies all night with Janine. She starts to pick up some of this math material. She goes to class next day, does the test, thinks she nails it. She's like, yep, that was good. That went great. Feeling good about that. Went back to school the next day. Turns out, she got the exact same score as the person who sits next to her, whose name is Shauna. maybe Shawnee.
Shauna.
Shauna. And they got all the same questions wrong. What's the probability of that? Well, according to her substitute math teacher, nearly impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Conclusion? Claudia, the dumb idiot who can't do anything, must have cheated. Is his conclusion, not mine. I love and trust Claudia. So does Janine Kishi, her sister. Janine Kishi goes on a rampage to prove that her sister didn't cheat, and she didn't. Shauna cheated.
Stop. I really freaked you out right there at the end, didn't I?
Yeah.
Baby Nation, I gave a Tanner a little 5-second countdown.
It took 55 seconds for the first 10 pages.
Yep, it's a classic
and
Tanner
5
move.
Seconds for the remaining 190 pages.
So do we want to dig into what happened next? I mean, this is like, we finally have from this book the Martinian theory of justice.
Okay, explain.
This is a book that's about truth and justice, right?
I guess, but Claudia kind of goes about achieving justice in some pretty despicable ways.
Exactly.
You think St. Martin is condoning that?
I mean, we've been waiting for 39 books for Martin to actually lay out her theory of justice.
Have you been,
what is it?
Have you been waiting for that?
Yeah. Does she have a Rawlsian
conception
of justice?
Can I see the checklist of questions you're waiting for Anna Martin's
you
answer?
Would not like it. You would not like to see that. Does she have a deontological theory of justice?
Mm-hmm.
Does she have a utilitarian idea about how justice should be enacted?
Mm-hmm.
Does she follow Kant? Does she follow Mill? Does she follow Rawls? Like, where's it at? Does she follow Plato? This is what the book is about. Justice is served ultimately in this novel. But according to the it's very difficult for me to talk when you are fake falling asleep against your microphone.
It's very difficult for me to maintain my consciousness when you're droning on about Martinian justice models.
Were you not outraged when justice was not served? Claudia and Shauna go to Mr. Tsortzi, the substitute math teacher,
mm-hmm.
and Mr. Tsortzi says, "Hey, I think one of you two cheated." And then Shauna's like, "Wasn't me."
Yeah.
And then he's like, "All right, see you later, Shauna. Claudia, I'm really disappointed
yeah.
in you."
She just rolls over and bares her throat to Mr. Tsortzi.
Yeah. But then there are these ethical questions that come up later in the book as the babysitters deal with the fallout from what's happened, right? The first thing that happens is they go to a babysitters club meeting and Claudia tells everybody what the fuck happened.
Right.
And everybody except Marianne says, "Claudia, that's so fucked up.
It's so fucked up. You obviously didn't do it." And Marianne was just like, "Well, Claudia, if you did do it,
yeah,
we'd still love you anyway."
Right. So that's, to me, is the first ethical question that Martin is posing us with.
Yeah.
We condemn the crime of Shauna.
Mm-hmm.
Are we to side with Marianne, who thinks that Claudia may have done it and that it's okay anyway?
I think so. And you want to know why?
Why?
Because this is a crime.
Mm-hmm.
That I have been guilty of. And all I want is to repent and to beg forgiveness.
From me.
From my peers, yeah.
And Baby Nation. Well, this is a form for that.
Okay. Have you ever cheated?
No.
On a test?
No. Literally, what do you take me for? Have you ever cheated on a test?
Yes.
Say it a little louder.
Yes, I have.
Okay.
I did once.
Why?
In 8th grade.
Yeah.
Oh, I was these girls' age.
Yeah.
I was in German class.
Okay.
And it wasn't a test.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do the assignment.
Okay.
I didn't like German. I didn't do the assignment. We went to class the next day, and we went to go turn in our papers, and I just didn't do it. When we all went to go turn in the papers, I brought my paper up and then didn't know what to do because it was not done.
Mm-hmm.
So I threw it in the garbage. And as I was walking back, I noticed that there was a paper on the top of the stack that did not have a name on it. And I went over. I was probably 13. And I went over and just put my name on it. And I was like, well, fortune favors the bold.
That was all that passed through your essentially empty mind at that point.
Uh-huh.
And then you're like, oh, cool. Now I'm going to go play Nintendo.
Yeah. Well, then I went to my next period and my teacher, whose name I cannot remember, came to class and walked into the front of the class and talked to the teacher and pulled me into the hallway. And she was like, "Tanner, I think you cheated on this assignment. And I was like, no, I didn't. And she said, well, this paper here is not your handwriting. And it's also...
It's by another man.
Flawless.
Yeah.
And it turns out I had signed my name to the paper belonging to the, like, top student in the class.
Now, this is very similar to the plot of this novel.
Yeah. And he had aced it, and I was, like, a C student in that class. So she was like, this is not your paper.
Are you sorry? Are you, like...
Yeah, I hated it, man. It haunts me to this day.
What you have done is morally reprehensible.
I know.
And it's so, so stupid.
I know. I've grown a lot since then.
For those of you who have not left yet, who have not turned off your headphones in disgust, who have not unsubscribed from this podcast, who have not gone back to iTunes and taken away your nice rating and your nice review, for which we are very grateful.
Uh-huh.
If you can find it in your heart.
I feel like you're really putting the screws in here, and this is something that these 20 years later, I still feel awful about.
And so you should. Well,
I got to tell you, though, getting caught cheating.
Yeah.
Ooh, boy, that sets you up for life. I never cheated on a single thing after that.
Well, I'm sorry for you. We'll find out if Baby Nation is sorry for you.
Please forgive me, Baby Nation. It was a grave error on my part.
Yeah.
And I've thought about it almost every day for 20 years.
Here's what we'll do. If you forgive Tanner, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes.
Yep.
And a nice review.
Yep.
And if you don't forgive Tanner, I would say probably just also give us a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And then leave a review that says something nice about Jack, maybe.
Yeah, maybe something nice about me. Yeah. Thank you to everybody who gave us reviews after our last episode and who wrote in.
Uh-huh.
I was deeply upset that Bread Theory
was such a smash hit. Yeah. People like dynamic, grabby theories, Jack. I'm sorry.
I really didn't think it had legs.
It has so many legs. And your eyes are wide open. So one baby bee suggested we start over.
Yeah.
Read these books again through the Bread Theory lens.
Yeah.
And see what we can uncover.
Another baby bee pointed out in a way that I can't believe that I missed that book was all about how Mallory and her family can't get enough dough.
Yeah. It's all right there. It's all right there in the text.
It's all in the text.
Wait, what do you think Martinian system of justice is?
Well, I wanted to tease that out with you, man. I didn't write it down.
Okay. I thought you had an answer.
No, this is why I talk to you about these books. For me, a lot of it comes out in conversation. I recognize that Martin has finally laid down her theory of justice. I don't know exactly what it is yet. Does she believe that justice was served? Shauna kind of gets her comeuppance at the end.
I guess. She's
suspended.
Right. Did you ever get suspended?
Yeah, I was suspended.
For what?
I graffitied up the whole school.
Baby Nation.
Yeah.
If you think you can forgive Jack Shepherd for this heinous crime of graffitiing up his school, a crime that was so severe that he was suspended from school, for how long?
A day.
A day, Baby Nation? Ugh, I don't even know if I can be in the same room as you, but Baby Nation, if you're more forgiving than I am and you can forgive Jack of this crime.
I feel like I was tricked into this. This was like a personal revelation in a moment of intimacy that I told you.
Don't try to appeal to our empathy.
Thinking that this was a criminal? Safe space.
You're so corrupt.
So this book is called Claudia and the Middle School Mystery. And the deepest mystery of many mysteries is encapsulated best by the following question. Why was Shauna Riverson cheating of Claudia Kishi?
It was the perfect crime in a lot of ways.
In the first place.
She can afford a C. So she's like, look, I don't need to impress anyone. I just need a C.
So I'm going to find a way to sit next to the most remedial student in the remedial math class.
You know who the lioness goes after when she's hunting gazelles? In the Serengeti.
I like...
She goes after the weak and the sick.
I like
the
this,
ones who can't run away.
I like this metaphor a lot, and I'm like, I'm caught up in it. There must be a flaw in it.
What?
I feel like what it is that the lioness isn't trying to get the same grade on the test as the weak gazelle.
Uh-huh.
I think that's what it is.
Okay.
If the lioness was trying to get the same grade on the test, she would go after the fastest gazelle in the Serengeti.
No, she just wants a meal. She just needs to squeak by.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so you think that that's mystery solved.
Yeah.
All right, well, all right, put on your detective hat. Let's go to the detective's bar and celebrate because we solved mystery number one.
I'm going to put on the hat if we're just kicking off work and going to the bar.
Let's take off.
I'm going to take off the detective hat.
Okay, take it off.
I want to talk about something.
Okay.
Hop a hop, drop a cop cop.
Hop a hop, drop a cop cop. You said hijack.
Hijack.
That's what you said. I want to talk about hijack.
Yeah.
Okay.
What I want to talk about.
Hi, Tanner.
Is Joppa not by not bees.
Sounds like we're in the cantina.
Stop e. Sent. Nop t. Sent. I want to talk about sentient AI.
Okay. Good.
This is a theory that we've touched on before in the past.
Yes.
That.
New baby bees.
Yeah.
Janine is Claudia Kishi's sister.
Genius older sister.
Yeah.
And it's been hinted at in these books before that she is potentially dabbling in the creation of sentient artificial intelligence.
Yes.
We have reason to believe that Claudia Kishi may be that sentient AI.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a point in this book where Claudia is super down in the dumps
mm-hmm.
about being accused of cheating on this test.
Right.
So she's with Claudia. They're talking about how Claudia got in trouble. Janine's like, is there anything we can do to convince Mr.
Sortsy
or the principal that you didn't cheat on this test?
Mm-hmm.
And Claudia's just totally dejected.
Yeah.
She says, no, it doesn't really matter anymore. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Janine, the wheels start turning in her head.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, okay. And she runs out of Claudia's room with a new zest.
Mm-hmm.
The next morning, Claudia wakes up. Totally different person.
Yeah.
She's chipper. She's full of life. She's carefree. She's full of reckless abandon. She dresses like the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing can stop her. She's not afraid of anything. I suspect that after that conversation, Janine went into her room and upgraded Claudia's firmware.
Great. I like that a lot.
Totally altered her programming.
Yep.
Cleaned up some of that trash code.
I have supporting evidence for this.
Okay.
The book begins. Claudia is quote-unquote studying for the math test.
Mm-hmm.
Janine and I talked for a little bit longer, but we couldn't figure out any plan of action except one. Study, study, study. I just have to be a math machine for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I accepted Janine's offer of help, but I can't say I was looking forward to the rest of the year. The beginning of this book,
yeah.
Janine programs her AI to be a math machine.
But I think she realized that in doing so,
she lost her humanity.
Right,
that
she
made
took away
it...
Claudia's humanity.
Right.
She took away her soul.
Yeah.
And then she felt bad about that.
It's such a, like,
when Claudia said it doesn't really matter anymore,
yeah.
Janine said, oh no, I've made a mistake.
It does matter.
It does matter. And she went and she uninstalled the math machine
right.
executable. She booted up dresses like an insane person .exe.
Yeah.
And the next morning, Claudia was right as rain.
She's right as rain, and she goes out, and there's color back in the world again. Yeah. And this is the thing, and this ties in with this idea about justice that Martin is exploring, where it's like if you have a black and white idea about justice, if you have a deontological view of justice, if you're Kant and you're just like, crime must be punished no matter what,
mm-hmm.
you're going to miss all of the
lawful
human
good.
Excuse me?
Lawful good.
Yeah, if you're lawful. Okay, good. All right, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
If you're lawful good, you're going to miss all of the color and the excitement that makes this world worth living in.
Right.
Sometimes you got to be bad to be good. Sometimes you got to
Jack?
Yep.
Are you forgiving me right now?
I'm forgiving you. Baby Nation, it's happening right now. I forgive you, man.
Does Baby Nation forgive me?
It's tough to say.
Well,
in this room right now, I've come full circle. I've come from a retributive deontological, Kantian, severe,
lawful
good theory of justice, whereby you committed a crime and you must pay the penalty, to a more human.
Keep in mind, I did pay the penalty. I got caught and received an F, and I think maybe got detention.
Well, you know what? It's okay. And now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey everybody, it's Evil Jack here. I'm excited to tell you about a little money-making project that Evil Tanner and I are cooking up called WetterHelp. It's basically the same concept as our sponsors, BetterHelp, but we're not going to run into any copyright problems this time because WetterHelp does everything our competitors do, but we do it soggier, damper, and with a 100% moistness guarantee, or your money back. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. But if you want to get absolutely drenched, BetterHelp has literally nothing to offer you. At WetterHelp, we'll spray you down with a hose, steep you for a full half hour in the most sodden, saturated slop we can find, and then throw you in a lake. The only thing BetterHelp can do is find you a therapist to work through your stuff in a way that will help you face the world and practice self-care, all while completely bone dry. If you want to develop self-awareness that helps you build a social life that doesn't drain your battery, or find a healthy balance in your relationships with other people in your life, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime...
Tanner! I just don't think this one works. Tanner!
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/bedfellows. You mentioned a thing just now while we were talking about this that happens to hit on a favorite but long neglected segment of ours.
Okay. You're really digging up a lot of muck these last couple weeks.
That is called...
All the stuff that had settled to the bottom of the segment dredge pit.
And I can't remember whether we do a repeating consonant for this, but I'm going to just give it a whirl, see what comes out.
Okay.
Segment is called...
Claudius Closet!
Cop-a-lop, cop-lop-a-yop-dop-bia...
Just don't do the whole thing. Please don't do the whole thing.
Cop, lop, a sop, a top. Claudia's Closet.
Claudia's Closet. You mentioned this in passing.
Yeah.
Just now. I don't have a lot to say about it. Normally, when we do Claudia's Closet, we read what Anne said.
Yeah.
That happened. And then we kind of extrapolate from it and we say... Okay, that's weird. What the hell is Claudia doing here?
Right.
We have some fun that way.
Yeah.
This time, Anne just said, Claudia thought it would be fun to dress like the sea.
Yeah. She dresses like the sea.
She literally dresses like the sea. I decided that my theme for the day would be the sea. Capital T, capital S. I put on a blue skirt with brightly colored tropical fish printed all over it. Then I put on a green blouse. I figured that could represent seaweed or something. I pulled my hair into a ponytail over to one side, and I pinned it with a sand dollar barrette I made last summer. Tanner, why did Claudia dress like the sea to go to class? To go to 8th grade Mr. Zorzi's class?
I don't know, because she also had to like confront Mr. Zorzi and the principal that day. She was dressed as the sea.
She was dressed as the sea.
I don't know. What does the sea symbolize?
I mean, the sea symbolizes variability. It symbolizes transience. It symbolizes change.
You know what it symbolizes in my mind?
Chaos. Okay.
Power.
Okay.
This was Claudia reclaiming her power.
I am the sea. I will overwhelm you.
Yeah.
I am Poseidon. Hear me roar.
And it works. This is right after Janine upgrades her firmware.
Claudia wakes up feeling a little different. She's not a math machine anymore.
Nope.
She says, I am going to dress like one of the greatest forces of nature.
Yep.
That there is. I am a tidal wave. Yep. I'm going to come into class.
This great Claudia wave will crash down upon the Sortsies.
Yeah.
And the principals and the Shauna Riversons of this world.
Riverson?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
You know what you are, Shauna? You're just a tributary.
You were the son of a river?
Yeah.
That is nothing.
That is nothing compared with the great Poseidon, who is crashing down upon you with his trident of justice. Justice will be served, Shauna Riverson.
In what's Freud's version of psychology called?
Freudianism?
Psychotherapy? Psychotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
The ocean is a symbol for the mother. Everything's a symbol for the mother in psychotherapy.
Well, if you want to do mother, I have a whole mother section in my notes. If Gertrude used 2/3 of a cup of chocolate to make 8 cookies, how much chocolate would be in each cookie? Janine asked.
1/12 of a cup.
But I knew that the next day during math class, it would be just me against good old Gertrude. I would be on my own. Gertrude figures throughout this book, right?
Well, she comes up this one time.
No, she comes up another time. Aren't you glad that Jesse made these cookies instead of Gertrude?
Says, referencing this first time.
Sure.
It's kind of a callback joke.
Yeah, it's a callback joke. Why would you use the name Gertrude?
I don't know, but Claudia says she hates the name Gertrude.
Yeah. Oh, a third reference? I hate the name Gertrude,
okay,
says Claudia.
You're just, that comes right after the first reference.
We were just talking about how what Freud says about the sea.
Right.
And you were saying that the sea represents a difficult experience with a mother figure.
Didn't say that at all. You extrapolated that. I said that the sea represents the mother.
Right.
In Freudian Gertrude. Psychology.
You know who Gertrude is, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
From the Hermann Hesse novel.
Gertrude from Hamlet. Gertrude is Hamlet's mother.
Ah.
We've talked about this in previous books. Gertrude is Hamlet's mother. He has this deeply complicated relationship with her.
Aha. Uh-huh. Aha. Mm-hmm. Ah.
There's nothing that's exciting for you here. Okay. So Gertrude is a major figure in this book. Claudia is struggling with Gertrude.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
She's struggling with Gertrude,
yep.
Who is represented in these math problems. That's the struggle in this book. Claudia is struggling with Gertrude. Much like Hamlet struggled with his mother. And if you want to talk about Freudian stuff with that, it's right there in Hamlet. That's where Freud gets it from.
Okay.
Is Hamlet's literal, difficult, and weird relationship with his own mother.
Claudia struggles with Gertrude.
Right.
As she's grappling
right.
with math.
Yes.
The second she lets go of math, the second Janine
mm-hmm.
pops the math floppy out.
Right.
And puts the Claudia AI floppy back in.
Right.
She reclaims her own
mm-hmm.
motherhood.
She
dresses like the powerful sea. She reclaims her own
right.
femininity. She reclaims her own matriarchy. And you know what she does? She marches right into Principal Undisclosed and and substitute teacher Sortsy's office, and she mm-hmm. says, I did not cheat on that test.
I did not cheat on that fucking test.
And I can prove it, is what she says. And by she, I mean Janine. Janine says that.
Right. Janine says that on behalf of Claudia. So Janine is a surrogate mother for Claudia in this. And this plays back into the AI stuff.
Yep.
And another thing that we witness at the beginning of this book, Janine is trying to teach Claudia math, program her,
mm-hmm.
and the portrait of Mimi is looking over her. The only person who ever was a mother to Claudia is
Mimi
gone.
Mimi Yamamoto
is looking over her. She's looking for a new mother.
Mm-hmm.
She's lost a mother figure. She's auditioning a new one in Janine.
Right.
She's confronted by a bad one in Gertrude.
Mm-hmm.
She becomes a powerful one when she dresses as the sea.
Mm-hmm.
Claudia and the middle school mystery. Okay. I don't know.
Wait, has this whole episode until now just been your summary?
This whole episode. This whole episode was my summary.
They say time moves slower when you're this deep. I feel like we keep making these Inception jokes, and it's like no one has seen Inception in 2.5 years.
Yeah.
I've captured a great note here. I want to talk about it.
Great.
But first I have to do something.
Okay.
Jack Shepard.
Yes, sir. Tanner.
Jazz.
Yep. To Doug.
Did.
Yep.
You.
Yep.
Have.
Mm-hmm.
Bop rop nop oh fop wop a cop.
Fuck you, because I know I'm gonna be editing this episode. You're gonna be a goddamn pain in the ass.
Woo. And I'm not gonna say it the right way either. You just gotta keep that in.
Baby Nation, also to just putting the knife in and twisting it.
Mm-hmm.
Something that you don't see because this is an audio medium.
Mm-hmm.
Tanner counted me in. He looked me in the eye. He was like, "Are you ready? Are you ready to do it?"
Yeah.
I was like, "Huh? This is surprisingly game."
Yeah.
He normally likes to get me off beat with these,
mm-hmm.
and then you did a bop a rop bop bop joke.
Yeah, good. It's not a joke. It's just my own secret language that I can use against you. You have no power in this domain.
All right, great. Did I have a bird in the week? You asked me the question.
There is such a good, great burn in this book, and I was worried that we both captured it.
I just read a burn. I wrote down 3 burns of the week, and I was reading through them, and I just read one, and it made me laugh out loud.
Yeah, I think it's probably mine.
So I'm going to say it, and if it's both of our burns of the week, then that's fine.
So be it.
The phone rings.
Mm-hmm. You have to back up a little bit, because we never explain the B plot of this book.
Oh, no. I have so much on the B plot of this book because it relates to justice.
Well, why didn't you bring it up in our fucking justice talk?
We went on about justice for 45 minutes. There's so much to talk about in this novel.
Here's the B plot of the book.
They're political prisoners.
The Pike triplets
are
playing baseball in the backyard,
mm-hmm.
and one of them hits a ball and it smashes a window.
Right.
Stacy was over babysitting at the time, but Claire skinned her knees, so she had to go inside and clean up Claire.
She missed it,
so she didn't know who the perpetrator was.
Right.
She asked the Pike triplets, "Hey, which one of you is responsible for breaking that window?" And they all say,
"I am Spartacus."
No, they all say, "All for one.
And one for all.
And one for all."
Yeah, it's awesome.
The Pike triplets do not rat one another out.
Yeah.
And they hold their ground. Miss Pike comes home and she says, "Okay, which one of you did this?" And they say, "All for one, one for all." And she says, "Okay, well, you're all grounded and you do not collect allowance until one of you confesses." And they just stand their ground. It's passive resistance.
Yeah.
They're just like, "You have no power here, mother." Yeah.
Mother. Mother. We are taking power back from you, mother.
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 So the backstory is that stuff with the triplets.
They are political prisoners. They did the crime, but they didn't do the time.
They're serving the time now. In this book, they serve the time.
They did the time, but not all of them did the crime.
Right.
The phone rings. "It's for you, Adam," she said. "Somebody wants to know if you'd like to play baseball." "Would I?" yelled Adam, lunging for the phone. "Hold it, buddy," said Mallory. "No way. Number one, you can't leave the house. Number two, you're not allowed to use the phone. Remember?" And was this also your burn of the week, Tanner?
Yeah.
"Number three, you're a nerd," said Adam under his breath, like a fucking badass.
It's such a good burn.
It's just epic.
It's just like, it's exactly the kind of thing you and I would say to one another.
It's perfect.
It's such a good burn.
It's the timing is perfect.
Number three, you're a nerd.
Number three, you're a nerd. When Mallory was saying it in her mind, she thought there were only two.
Yeah.
But there was a third. There was a third item on the list, and the third item was that she was a fucking nerd.
Whew. Got you again, Mel.
Eat it, Mallory.
Someone call a burn unit.
Yeah, somebody call.
Oh, wait, you can't. You're not allowed to use the phone.
Whew. All right, we can move on. We have a hot segment we can move on to.
Okay.
We could also talk about possible worlds theory.
Okay.
You want to talk about possible worlds theory a little bit?
If you think it's going to be interesting? Really think about it.
You know about possible worlds theory, right?
Really, really think about whether you think possible worlds theory is going to have legs.
You know about possible worlds theory in philosophy, right?
Sure. It's like the DC universe, right?
It's like the DC universe.
Infinite Crisis.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So there are a multitude of realities?
Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
Yeah. We've talked about it in previous Babysitter's Club podcasts. What if every time we make a choice, there is the diverging path?
Right.
And a new universe is created that is a possible world that could have existed.
Yeah. In an alternate universe, you and I are sitting in this room right now recording this podcast, and a meteorite smashes through the ceiling.
Yeah.
Kills us both instantly. Yeah. Evaporated.
That's the best episode of Babysitter's Club.
Yep.
Ever. People find the episode, they find the record.
Yeah.
And they edit it into a podcast, and it becomes a religion. And ooh. Then Michaela.
Yeah.
And Lakeland, 100 years in the future.
It won't take that long.
5 years in the future?
Yep. 2022.
Are preaching the good word in 2022. Mark my words, Baby Nation. If it's not happening to you, if it's not in the process of happening to you, it is happening in another world.
It's happening to your kids.
Yeah.
What were we talking about? Possible world theory?
No problem. Stacy said after a minute, I'll stand guard where the two hallways meet. If I see her coming, I'll warn you. Where the two hallways meet, this is the moment where Claudia must make the choice about what her conception of justice truly is. Whether or not she will steal from Shauna's locker in an effort to create justice for herself. It's the place where the two hallways meet. Baby Nation, we're at a crossroads right now. And to bring it home, we're always at a crossroads. What that moment in time when you look down at that test that had no name on it,
mm-hmm.
and you chose to cheat and to lie and to debase yourself.
Okay.
And to cast yourself down from the heights.
Uh-huh.
To sell your soul for something so cheap and so tawdry as a good grade, as a respect that you desired, that you craved, but that you didn't earn from your peers and your friends and your teachers and the people who cared about you.
Mm-hmm.
That moment was a crossroads, but we forgive you.
You and Baby Nation.
I and Baby Nation. You made a choice. And it was the wrong choice.
Good. I forgive you for your vandalism, too.
But we can go back.
We can?
We've gone back through forgiveness.
Oh. Can't literally go back.
No, you can't literally go back and change that shit. That was just some dumb shit that you did.
Oh.
Listen, we got another segment. I don't know if you had a...
A what, Jack?
A... That was that echoed across the valley.
Yeah.
I don't know if you had one. Did you have one? I don't know if I had one.
I had one.
Good. I'm super excited to hear yours because I don't know if mine's good.
This genuinely brought a tear to my eye.
Oh, okay, good.
After Claudia confronts Mr. Sortsy and the principal and takes a retest, aces it, as she says. She goes home. Mm-hmm. It's a club meeting night. No one's showing up. It's 5:30. Where is everyone? Door opens. Surprise. We're all here to surprise you. Here's a cake. We're all very excited that you passed your test twice. Then I saw Janine. She was hanging back shyly, trying to blend into the woodwork. She must have felt out of place. And Janine is the best sister in the universe, I said, gesturing to her. Come on, Janine. I've got something for you. I grabbed the collage I had been working on and held it behind my back for a minute. I wanted to give you something, to show you how grateful I am for all your help, I said. Oh, Claude, she said, you don't have to do that. I enjoy helping you study.
That didn't get you. You're a Janine at heart. You didn't feel for her?
I felt for her in the moment of, much like I'm feeling right now, Baby Nation, I'm looking across the table in my room that I've thoughtfully and lovingly set up mics. I put on a nice, happy light so that Tanner can enjoy
sun ray.
The rays of the sun.
Yeah.
And yet, what do I get looking across this table trying to make a human connection across the void? But you're closing your eyes, you're yawning at me, you're shaking your head. You're looking at your fucking phone.
It's 10:30 at night.
I feel that with Janine trying to teach Claudia math.
You're trying to teach me podcasting.
I'm trying to teach you podcasting.
Well, I tell you what, friend.
Yeah.
The student has become the master.
Okay.
Remember Bread Theory?
Yeah.
That was me. Any time to hit the books again, Jack, because you're way behind, you know? We're onto some new shit here,
Baby
in
Nation.
Modern America.
Baby Nation, I love you, and I also kiss you. That I will never take away.
Uh-huh.
I both love and kiss you.
Uh-huh.
But I am disappointed in you how quickly Bread Theory took on.
You're just jealous. You're jealous that...
I'm not jealous. I do.
What's the shit you're talking about? Martinian justice system.
I do.
Just doesn't catch.
So much work. I do so much work.
Oh, that's it. You know what this is? This is like Mozart and
Salieri.
Salieri.
You're my Salieri.
Uh-huh. No, I'm your Mozart.
Fuck you. I'm
your
Salieri. Fuck. What's it? TFW. That face when? Is
yeah.
it that feeling when? Is it?
You're the Salieri.
You're the Salieri. You realize you're Salieri and someone else is Mozart. I'm the fucking Salieri.
I'm sitting here with my big wig just like hammering on the piano and it's beautiful. And you're just putting the hours
in. Like, that sounds good. That Bread Theory sounds good. But like, I spent a lot of time. I spent a lot of time trying to figure out how the Rawlsian theory of justice connects to Claudia and the middle school mystery.
Yeah.
Well, Baby
Nation. I
tell
you each week, you just don't need to work that hard at it, man.
Oh. Well, fine. Fine. Here's what I want to say to you right now. Let's get the fuck out of here.
I'm interested.
I have been, this week, Jack Shepard.
Mm-hmm. I have been.
I would say this week, just for verisimilitude, for parallel construction.
Okay.
I would say.
This week.
This week, I have been.
I have been.
I have been this week.
Okay.
For parallel construction.
Okay. I have been this week. Top a nop nop. E rop.
You son of a bitch.
Gop rop. E nop. Rop I nop gop.
Great. This has been.
There's your verisimilitude.
Yep, that's how you say it.
Mop a top hop e rop fop a cop cop e rop.
I don't even know what it was. I don't know what it was.
It was a swear.
I'll just take it. This has been another episode of the Babysitter's Club Club. This week we read Club Adopt.
You're so bad at it.
Club Adopt Dop and the Mop Adopt Dop mystery.
It's just not that hard.
It's hard for me. And I don't know. Next week we're reading a book. That sounds awesome. It's called Marianne versus Logan.
Ooh, I know.
It sounds great.
Ooh, Trouble in Paradise.
Yeah. Claudia is wearing a bra now. The way she talks, you would think that boys had just been invented. All right, you talk, because I'll respond to you, but I'm not going to listen because I'm going to look at my notes.
Okay.
I got a lot that I want to talk
about. If you're
a
dumb idiot, don't say anything at all.
I'm not a dumb idiot. Okay. That's not what I said.
I just thought maybe you weren't paying attention.
I am paying attention.
If you are paying attention, say I'm a dumb idiot.
I'm a dumb idiot.
Yes.
Fuck you.